né? Eu sinto que está aqui. You just take, do you know what's up? One more look, please, guys.
If you need a pen, just look where everything's some pens down. At the front here. Just like us to write, just like us to have a think for a moment. Just write
in the journal on a blank sheet.
Just one word. Or go to two words if you have to. One word that would accurately describe your relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit right now. Think one word. So it could be good, could be bad, could be cool, could be hot, could be non-existent, but it's too much. Could be growing, could be anything, could be a few.
Just write that down.
It's this for me, it knows me for this. Just to you to feel this relationship with a beautiful person. I want to encourage you to pray in tongues. If you have a gift of tongues, which is probably most of us, then I want to encourage you to use that gift and to use it deliberately until it becomes absolutely natural for you. Who wouldn't want the Holy Spirit to pray for you and to pray through you? Do you think the Holy Spirit of God might know what you really need and the right words and what the Father wants to hear through your mouth? But to do that is giving you a special gift, the gift of prayer in the Spirit. And you know, that phrase might mean more than tongues, but it certainly means tongues as well. And I want to encourage you to do that by the clock if you need to, until it becomes a natural overflow of your life with God. Until you pray in tongues as easy as you pray in English, and just think it flows, and that's just part of your life. Jeffrey Plunger, you saw such incredible breakthrough in Hong Kong with all the drug addicts, the walled city, said that you know, she went as a missionary full of zeal, full of power, full of God, full of zeal, not full of power, actually, and would be full of boldness and incredible, would witness to people on the streets. She'd go up to them and say, you know, prostitutes and drug addicts, and full of compassion for them, and say, Jesus loves you. And they'd say, in Chinese, so what? And she just had no power at all. Then she met another missionary couple who were filled with the Holy Spirit. They said, you need the Holy Spirit. They sat her on a chair. They prayed for her. She got full of heat and felt the power of the Holy Spirit. They encouraged her to pray in tongues. She said, I'm going to do it. They said, look, just copy us. Just say a little word, say a little word. She got a couple of little syllables and she kept thinking, is that just me? Is that just me? Which is how you start very often. Very few people just burst out in tongues. Marvelous if you did. But most people have to speak themselves, start to speak. And she did that. And then Jackie Bulger says, and she must be just this type of person, but she said, by the clock, I started to pray in tongues for 15 minutes every day. Just stand looking at my other bedroom wall and just by the clock speak in tongues, because I didn't know what to pray for these people on the streets. I had a heart for them, no power to reach them. So I'd speak in tongues 15 minutes, which was as long as I could do. Which is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
You pray for tongues there, in tongues there, about 2-3 minutes. It just shows you how little you actually pray in tongues, and I do. Because you think, well, this is a long time. Not really. And she said, after I started doing that, miracles just happened on the street everywhere around. I'd say, Jesus love you. And then people would fall to their knees and give their lives to Christ. Drug addicts would be delivered without any side effects from heroin. She was just, she'd used a gift of prayer that she'd been given. I think we should use it too. I want to encourage you. You know, you drop the kids off at school, and in that 5 or 10 minutes it takes you to drive home, don't turn the radio on. Don't even put the worship tape on. Say, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to speak in tongues until I get home. And if you begin to do that, it'll become a natural flow of your life.
and you'll just be speaking in tongues. And the magnitude of that gift, we just don't know. I know people who've preached in tongues in Africa, and God's just said, go to the microphone and speak in tongues for half an hour. Loads of people there going and just speaking in tongues like I just was then for half an hour. And at the end, he's called Costa D, this guy, Tom Rosen, and he's gone to be the Lord now. He said to his interpreter, come on, it's time to preach now. And the interpreter said, you've just preached in perfect dialect. They've all got saved, they've all heard it. We don't know what the gift of tongues can do with me until we use it regularly. So I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, have you been enjoying Acts of the Apostles? Has anyone got any insights they want to share from this week? Or questions or thoughts? We can knock the microphone around again. You're absolutely free to do that. Anyone got any revelation that they want to share? Sandy, you learned some revelation that I can see.
It's a simple one.
Oh, come on, it's fine.
It's just them. When I was reading, I actually listened to it. And I've read it a few times. And it's just a simple thing. It's just when people join people. And around about chapter 15, it suddenly goes from Paul and Peter was doing this to actually we were doing that. Right. And we did this, we were here. It's actually when Luke actually joins Paul on his journeys. It was just, to me, it was simple. And as I was listening to Luke joining Paul, I almost felt as though I was joining him as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I just actually became part of the way. And I thought it was wonderful to let us know.
That's beautiful. I'm just impressed you in chapter 15.
I was just impressed by we've been registering the story about the young servant girl going to the door and Peter's there. She closes the door and walks away and goes in and tells everybody, hey, Peter's outside. And they just say to her, come on, you're having this on, you know? And it's just amazing, to me it reminds us, how we can actually be sometimes when God does something, it's like, really? But it's exciting because it is a journey, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, this is the first time we've heard of this, the first time we've seen this done. Yeah. And all these ideas when God does something new or different, because it challenges us. It challenges our faith, doesn't it?
Thoughts? Perfect. Yeah. Pass that off to me.
Just the other one. It was like God speaking with me. I like relationships, probably some people as well. And it's about 9 million combinations you can actually go to and play in chess when you play in
chess.
Chess. Right, and so I'm just thinking, it's sometimes for the each combination in the thing and the way to go, but with Holy Spirit and with God, we don't need a thing. We can only pray and God reveal, that way we need to go. It's just,
It's awesome. It is awesome. Do you know what? Actually, I saw something very similar to that. Combination that the Holy Spirit leads them into over and over again through our Acts. It's always, I don't know if you pick this up as well, but it hit me afresh this week. It's always believing, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, repentance, almost like it doesn't matter what order, but they really bother the all flow bit. And we just keep doing that. Some people are like, I noticed that Simon the sorcerer, when Philip's been preaching in Samaria. And he's been baptized. He believes he's been baptized, but he hasn't repented. He doesn't repent until the apostles get there. Peter says to him, "Your heart's full of wickedness. You're not right with God." Then he repents. It's like amazing. Scary but true. He can be baptized. He can believe, but not have repented. So you're not fully functioning. You're not fully in, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Anything else?
I was looking at chapter 8,
And I like the idea of this is when the church starts getting persecuted and scattered. And it looks really naff. However, it then says, verse 4, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. The shrieks, evil spirits came out of many. So, you know, I think sometimes when people are a little bit naff, or not going away, just do realize that God could be in the whole thing and sending you out and can still use you. And then my question, my one question for today. Right, back in verse 14. And, so it's chapter 8. And then it's got, so first 42. And the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, baptized in fire, and here they simply, just simply being baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So it was like, what's that? And like, you know, do we have to care about that? Does that mean baptism in water?
I might end up asking a second question while I try to answer it. Is the problem? We had a discussion about what does baptism by water actually do? You know, the physical act of doing it. And we can agree that Jesus did it. So if I want to be like Jesus, then I should mimic him in every way I can. And so if he was baptized in water, then so should I. But then we tell ourselves, well, being baptized in the Holy Spirit can happen the moment you accept Jesus in your life. So you don't have to go and get baptized physically in water before you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many people have been like that, aren't there? Many people have accepted Jesus in life and start speaking in tongues moments after they've accepted them. I've found that a lot. I think sometimes expressions of the same thing. Sometimes. So when someone says he was baptized in fire, for me, that fire is the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's no different baptism there. It's not a certain type of baptism, one over another. And I think sometimes, because different people write different books in the Bible and different, they have different expressions, they just use different things. But ultimately, fire is the Holy Spirit.
Because I think that this one says,
it was just a difference because it just says that they prayed that the Holy Spirit might come on them, and he did. But it said because they'd simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and I wasn't really sure what that sentence meant.
It means a couple of things.
I'm sorry, I asked
you. Oh, sorry, I'm just it. It's the name of Jesus. You answered some of it, which is the significance of our baptism. Do you know what? Baptism is so significant. Did you see how significant baptism is? I mean, the Apostle Paul gets healed, filled with the Holy Spirit to his conversion, but as soon as he's up, he gets baptized. It's so important to them. They're just always getting baptized, whether filled with the Holy Spirit or not. But baptized into the name of Jesus is a significant one. And for me, I think it's a couple of things. Because there is a sort of sect in the church that think you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus only, which of course is just ridiculous, because Jesus himself said, you know, go in all worlds, you know, make sense of all this, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also, when it says baptized into the name of Jesus, it's a couple of different things. One is, in some verses, it just says baptized in the name of Jesus. But if you read it as NIV of chosen to, which is baptized into the name of Jesus, they were sure that the people were baptized in water, into Christ, but they hadn't been baptized into the Holy Spirit fire until the apostles laid hands on them. That's one part of it. But the other thing is this, that they were making a distinction of acts between the baptism of John. Lots of people have been baptized by John. So, like in Ephesians, in Ephesus, they meet a group of people who were believers, it says, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So Paul says to them, well, what? How were you baptized then? And they were only baptized in John's baptism. So it says to them, he got them full of the Holy Spirit and then baptized them. And it says again in heaven, into the name of Jesus. But it's the same thing as our baptism in Acts. It's in the name of Jesus.
Just going to say, actually, there's still a sect today that does that.
Yeah.
The Sabians in Iran are actually John's baptism.
Yeah,
it happens in Estonia. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just a comment on what you said, Mark.
Yeah.
I think that Romans 6 is a good explanation of being baptized into Jesus. Because it says that we're identified with him and restored all his resurrection. It's a symbolic thing that we're doing, really. We're saying, I'm dead to my old self, and when we come out of the water, it's we come up to newness of life in Christ.
And I think, I think the thing is, when you start getting intense about a verse, or a couple of verses like that, you're always going to go off a bit. And so we were in Estonia, and this guy comes and says, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. All you guys, your baptism isn't relevant. They've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this guy says, no, you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Ridiculous! Whack! If anything sounds whack, guys, it usually is. If anyone gets intense about coming up with us, no, it's just religious spirit. Just stay normal. Stay with the general scriptures, and don't get hung up on. Baptize in the name of Jesus. Baptize in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit. Baptize, aren't you? As a Christian, it's not John's baptism. This is into Christ. That's what matters. And you only need to do it once. You need to get re-baptized and check if all the names right. God's not daft. He's not a computer. He's not mocking us. If you're baptized, are you baptized? Anything else? Before we have a very needed toilet break.
It's kind of like a verse saying that Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's 2:38, and we're just having a chat there. Because back in 8, it says that...
we have some
concerned
questions.
It's about...
Go on, Lily, you ask it. Grab that mic.
Go on, Lily! Well, didn't you...
I'm just saying that when they're being baptised, and then they said Peter and John placed their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit,
I just thought that once they came and baptized, they didn't have to realise they had to lay their hands on to receive the Holy Spirit. Don't have to, but it's obviously Paul's advice, especially, so I actually wasn't in the hands of it. Can I just give a tip on that? Obviously, Marion and I cheated, and we watched the DVD bit as well, and it was a bit cheesy, but some of the acting was
But the best bit is where Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch and then disappears and says to him, the spirit took him away and he's somewhere else. And then the video version we saw was hilarious because he disappeared and then appeared on the beach with a lot of kids. But it was just a thought of, like, that's amazing, isn't it? I wonder what that was like to just be somewhere and suddenly disappear, You walk across the suddenly you can start. I don't know.
Awesome.
I was just going to say that if you look at Acts chapter 10, it's if you look in your order, it's kind of a reverse order.
Yeah.
Because the house of Cornelius was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they baptized them in water. And that was it's kind of like a sign to Peter.
Yeah.
Because poor old Peter, he was a Jew through and through. And he said, well, you know, if they're going to baptize the Holy Spirit like we were today, how can they do that even more? Yeah, that was another thing I liked about
it. So the Holy Spirit comes when he wants,
yeah,
and how he wants. That's the point.
But he always challenges your religion. Yeah.
And if the Holy Spirit hasn't come, the truth is the laying on of hands by an apostle, he will come. He's a faithful believer. Oh, do you know what? Is there anyone else? I don't have a question.
I'm just sat there thinking, I bet loads of people are thinking, what's the difference between John's baptism and baptism into the name of Jesus?
The difference is simply this: John's baptism is a baptism about repenting of your sins and for the forgiveness of sins to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Jesus' baptism was the Christian baptism was a baptism into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So when it says into the name of the Lord Jesus, they mean it. You're baptized into the person of Jesus. You go in yourself, you come out in him, clothed in him. And I think that the thing to really get hold of in all of this is the vital importance of water baptism. That's what's hit me from Acts over and over again. You know, it's a vital pattern to it. Whatever the combination, the apostles and the early Christians made sure everyone filled with the Spirit, and very often, and speaking in tongues, and baptized in water, repented, believed, understood the gospel, believed. Those four things over. And it just, so the whole, look at just the last couple of weeks for me, it's raised the whole thing in my mind again. Yeah. Whatever does happen in water baptism, we've just got to do it and do it and do it as soon as people believe. And just make sure people are filled with the Holy Spirit all going nowhere.
2 minutes, then we're going to have to carry on that point, because from my experience in church, baptism, you know, it should be a simple thing like what we've just been saying. But experience in English churches is that you have to go through a course, you have to stand at the front and give your testimony, all this stuff added, which puts people off. And it shouldn't be simply as, you know, let's just do it.
Yeah.
So whether we're gonna have a back or a pool or something at the new building, or can we just, you know, can we just, if a friend of ours becomes a believer,
yeah,
right, let's fill the bath and do it now.
Yeah.
Why not? Because it does become a religious thing, doesn't it? No, let's wait till we go to the church building. Why?
I just look at the Ethiopian Union says, here's water.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be anything, but I just look at that, you know. Here's some water, let's do it now.
I love it, naturally, where it goes.
To be honest, as an evangelist, the reason I love a family in church is because for someone's baptism, you always get family in.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I love
this. Just in, you know, when the Ethiopian Union gets baptized, he says, what are we waiting for? And it's like, you show that scripture, you know,
yeah,
what are you waiting for? Get in there, you know.
Yeah.
Just quickly, just interested to have a go to Matthew chapter 2, and it says, about, you know, it says they were sitting, we talk about this last week, they were sitting, you know, on the day of Pentecost, but it doesn't say they were actually praying. So it was interesting, you were saying about the Holy Spirit coming. They weren't actually praying for the Holy Spirit to come. They were just sitting in the room, and the Holy Spirit came. And just one more little thing, in chapter 3, we were doing about the crippled beggar last week. I was reading it. I just thought it was interesting, I think it says, how Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And I think all the time they were read it, I presumed they were going, I was thinking, but they're not Jews, if you like, you know, like the followers of Jesus. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But just to say they're going to pray, it says at the time of prayer they're going to the temple. I thought, yeah, they're going to preach, you know. And I thought that's awesome to think. They weren't going to pray, you know, and be religious. It was like they're going there because the people were there, all the people were there. And I just thought it was interesting how the crippled beggar, and how he went in, and how everything was changed. You know, the mindset, the tradition. The tradition was that everybody knew that guy was there. He was over 40 years old, and from birth he'd been crippled. So it was a tradition, and like it was almost like it's been blown out of the water, this tradition. The crippled beggar, who used to be there in the service, he's not there anymore, you know. And I just thought it was quite funny how this guy, a couple of beggars, got up and said he was dancing and leaping and praising God in the temple. And then when everybody started to come, he said he was hanging on to Peter and John. I thought it was quite humorous how he was like hanging on to them. And then the big crowd came, and it was like Peter and John thought, wow, here, and then started preaching. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Started preaching a bit like
you. I just want to follow up Stu and say about Mr. Philip.
Yeah.
Well, that does happen today. There's many reported incidents of that happening. People just go from one place to another. And I vaguely remember it happened to me when I first became a Christian. And it's not weird, to think of it weird. It's not like weird stuff. It feels pretty good, but you just walk and all of a sudden you're somewhere else. It's amazing.
I want that gift.
Yeah.
No more Ryanair.
Yeah, well, we can look for it. That's what it's
called. Yeah.
You know, if we're going to want the Holy Spirit big there, we can look for these kind of things.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to move to.
I just want to go back to the prayer. To me was it said Peter took him by the right hand and helped him up, and it was as he was helping him up his ankles became strong. It wasn't like he left him on the floor and was praying for him while he was lay. He actually pulled him up.
Yeah.
And he was pulling up, his ankles became strong. And just
action.
Brilliant. Can I just share from my prayer? The weirdest thing happened on Sunday. I was over in that corner praying for, remember the guy that came in at cancer, Russell. I was just sharing my heart this morning, and Glory was like stood next to me, and she had his hand, and Beth was circling like a hawk over here. Stuart came all right through, but part way through, praying for him, he fell on my arm. Right? He fell on my arm. Now he's bigger than me, this guy, heavier than me, right? But he fell on my arm, and his legs were virtually off the ground. I'm not kidding you. And yet, I couldn't feel any weight on my arm at all. And I said to Mark,
if I could have lifted his feet up with my finger. I've never had that before. It was just something in the power of praying for him. And just as you said that, it just reminded me of it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe he can lose weight. This is absolutely totally very, very quickly on the
phone. Because you know what you say about baptism, baptizing again straight away. Obviously, a lot of baptisms have been enacted public, and that probably has an impact on the people, you know. So that's the reason for, you know, on Sunday nights we've had lots of baptisms, and you know, it's good for people to sort of declare what they're doing and stuff, you know. But the worst one of the baptism is when people say they're not ready. So when you say to somebody, you know, you think of becoming a Christian, and you say, oh, yeah, when they say I'm not ready, often it means that they haven't actually committed the right to the Lord. But the other thing is it can get into a bit of a stumbling block. So people can be told, well, maybe you're not ready, and that's not actually true. And it really is about belief and baptism straight away.
So every week we're going to do this, because it's important that we learn together through the scriptures. So listen, guys, the best thing to do, when you've got a bit of time, and you might not be willing to do this every day, listen, it's alright. Life's life, isn't it? You might not be able to chill a week and go, oh, doesn't matter. What matters is when you do read, get your little booklet with you. And if you have any question, write it down. Read it. Share it. Together, the Holy Spirit will be teaching us, showing us new things. We'll learn together. He's the teacher, he's got the answers. And corporately, together, we'll learn stuff from Acts and share revelation. Okay, so just notice questions, revelations, little thoughts, insights. We're coming and sharing. You know, if you don't write it down, it's hard to share. You know, you start thinking, oh, wish I had thought of something, you know, and otherwise Darren's just going to hop. So let's have a toilet paper. 5 minutes. Thank you for those insights, man. Awesome.